Good morning or good afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to Parent Wise with Monica Irvin. I'm Monica, and I'm just really glad that you're here today. I appreciate so much all of you that listen and are just so supportive of this podcast. Thank you. It really does mean so much. I love when I get comments from you. I love when you let me know questions that you have, when you have comments about a podcast that I've done, and I just appreciate the communication that you have with me. Today, we're going to dive in. This is something I've been wanting to talk about for a while. It's been on my mind like it's been on all of your minds, just the political climate that we're in, what feels like an enormous amount of contention and stress and anxiety about our political climate, our social climate. But as parents, probably if you're like me, I worry about what this climate, how it affects our children, how it affects our young children. What are they learning from watching us, from listening to us, from even those of you who have kids who are on social media? What are they learning? What do they see the adults in their lives? What do they see from the adults in their lives? How do they see them react? What is discussed at the dinner table? When your family has a large family gathering, well, maybe you are during COVID, what's the topic of discussion? And how are our children interpreting what's going on? Parents, it's always going to be my greatest desire to teach children how to have compassion. I think compassion and empathy is the secret to having a happy life. I think the more compassionate and empathetic we are as individuals, it helps us to see the beauty of this world, to recognize the pain in other people's lives. It reduces the amount of judging we do of one another. And I personally think the less we judge others, the happier we are. Have you ever noticed? I want you to just think about this last week or two. And have you been upset about anything? Has anything kind of ruffled your feathers? What was it? What kind of got your feathers all ruffled? I would imagine that at least once in the last week or two, you've been ruffled about some comment someone made about a social issue, or maybe a political sign you saw in someone's yard. I know this because of how I see my friends responding to these types of things. I had a friend who was so upset, or is so upset, just about a political party that she saw her friend supporting by a sign in the front yard. She had no idea that her friend supported a certain candidate. And it just really upset her and made her actually feel differently about this friend. Oh, parents, what are we doing? What are we doing and what are we teaching our children? So today, I want to just touch on a couple of social issues, some political issues, because not to convince you one way or another about anything. And this is not a podcast to support a certain political party. This is a discussion I want to have with you. I wish you could talk to me back live, so I'd love your comments. But it's about you and I being more thoughtful of the lessons that we're teaching our children right now. Because I'm going to tell you, between now and this November election, things are going to get even more hairy, and our children are going to be exposed to more ugly things. But we've got to make sure that any ugliness our children are exposed to does not come from us. You know, I've never been someone who feels completely tied to a political party. Now, listen, I do have a political party that I have remained loyal to throughout my adult life as far as my voting record, because it just so happens that's what falls mostly along my views. But even with that said, even though I have never to date voted for the opposite political party, it does not mean at all that I am not sympathetic and that I'm not open to different viewpoints on different social issues. You know, what I want for my children is I want them to be open and listen. Listen when there's two sides to an argument. I want my kids to listen to both sides, and not just listen so that they can check off a box that said, well, I did listen to their argument, but I want them to listen to try to understand, why do people come to their decisions? Where does it come from? The more we understand why people come to the beliefs that they have, the better we can have more compassion for each other and to respect one another's decisions, even if we disagree, even if we disagree to a major extent, even if someone else's opinion violates deep moral conviction that we have. You all, even in those circumstances, we can have respect when we understand where people come from. You know, we're all, I think, pretty sure that we're right about how we feel. Maybe that's a bad way to say it. Typically, obviously, when we make a decision, like a political stand or a moral stand, a religious stand, obviously, we have come to the decision that we think it's the right decision. And I mean, we come to that decision through lots of different ways. What we all forget is that each of us, because of our lifelong experiences, our upbringing in our family, our life experiences have shaped us and molded the way we think. They have. You can say, nope, Monica, I am an independent thinker. No one influences me. That's not true. It's not true. We're all influenced by others, but more than that, by our experiences in life. And here's the deal. You guys, we haven't all had the same experiences. You know, this election in particular, I have prayed more about than any other election. And we're still 2 months away, but I have spent more time on my knees pleading with the Lord for guidance than I ever have before. Because ultimately, I want to do the right thing. You know, I want to make the right choice. And when I mean the right choice, I mean the choice that Jesus would make if he were here. And that's how I look at things. I mean, that's how I approach decisions. I'm sure I get it wrong sometimes. I'm positive about that, but I want to represent the Savior in my choices, because I profess to be a Christian, and to my understanding, professing to be a Christian means I'm a follower of Christ, and I try to represent him in my thoughts and words and deeds. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm perfect at that, but that's my desire, is to do that. And so even when it comes to an election, my thoughts go to, well, what would Jesus do? And I've had a harder time with that decision this time around. But I want to share a few interesting experiences I've had with social issues. And the reason, once again, I'm sharing this is not to cause you to think one way or another. I just want us to become more open-minded and realize that when people differ from us in their opinions, there's always a reason. So my hairdresser, I might have told you about my hairdresser before. So my hairdresser's name is Daryl. And oh, y'all, I love Daryl. Me and Daryl have been great friends for 30 years, a little over 30 years now. He's been cutting my hair. And bless his heart to put up with me for that long. But we are just the best friends. And he comes to our house for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And we love Daryl. He's become family to us. Well, Daryl is a black man. And so often over the years, Daryl and I have talked about different social issues when it comes to race issues and things of that nature. And for sure, we've had a lot to talk about the last couple years. Daryl is very conservative. In fact, I think he considers himself to be a Republican. However, the first time he ever voted Democrat in a presidential election was for Barack Obama. And the fact is, Daryl will be the first to tell you, as he told me, Monica, the reason I voted for him was because he was a black man. And it was so important to me. I just finally felt like our country had really made progress. And he voted for Barack Obama. And Daryl has really conservative views about lots of things. But for him, the issue of race is such a deeply rooted issue that I can't really relate to. And so it has caused him to make certain decisions. Well, I knew he voted for Barack Obama, but I knew that he typically was always Republican and voted Republican. Well, recently I went to get my hair done, and Daryl and I were talking about something about politics, and usually we don't ask, hey, who are you voting for? But something came up about the upcoming election. And I just expressed that I was having a little doubt about what I was going to do. And you all, I've got deep-rooted moral opinions about social issues. So me having an ounce of doubt is a big deal when it comes to a political election. But anyway, when I said that, and I didn't tell him that I had made a decision or that I knew what I was going to do. I just insinuated that I was having some doubt. And Daryl became really upset in a way that I had never seen him become upset before. And the thought that I would even consider voting for Donald Trump was so upsetting to him. Now, you all don't get sidetracked about Republican, Democrat right now, okay? Just hear me out. I'm not trying to make a statement here. But what struck me is Daryl looked at me and he, once again, has had different personal experiences throughout his life than I have. But he said, Monica, you of all people, someone I respect, I can't believe you would consider voting for a racist. He said, why would you do something like that? And I was like, Daryl, I don't know that. I don't know what I'm going to do. But what was interesting, you all, is that Daryl went on to express his deep belief about our president. And I'm not saying that I agree or disagree, but what was clear to me is that my good friend, who I love and respect and who I know lives a very Christ-like life, was so hurt that someone he loved and respected would consider voting for someone who, in his opinion, is a racist. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a racist, you all. I'm telling you that my friend believes that he is. And the reason I'm saying that is because I could see the pain in my friend's eyes when we discussed this topic. And it really didn't matter what my beliefs on the topic was. You know, my friend believed in his heart and soul, you know, that this man did not like black people. Now, once again, we could argue that all day, and I know Donald Trump has done a lot of, he's done several wonderful things for the black community, but we're not going to get into all that. My point is, in that moment, I really understood why some people could not bring themselves to vote for our current president, if they really believe that, like my friend does. You know, I know the Black Lives Matter movement has become, you know, controversial and just different things and pros and cons. And when all of it really started up, when George Floyd was murdered, my heart went out to our black community in a way that all of your hearts did too. And I had not spent a lot of time looking up Black Lives Matters. I've been to their website. I knew that they stood for things that I didn't agree with and that I could not support. But my black friends were so devastated again after the George Floyd incident. And I remember sitting down with my one black friend whose name is Rayetta and talking to her about it. And she said, you know, Monica, she said, this is nothing new for us. She said, we have been seeing this our whole life. And now I'm going to warn you, I'm going to share with you something a little graphic. And so young ears don't need to be listening right now. But I want to share it with you because I want to share with you the things that have been shared with me from people that I love and how it's helped shape me to be more sensitive. But so she told me about, she said, when I was a little girl, she said, I think I was around 8 or 9. She said, you know, for on Saturdays, me and all my friends, we would hang out at the firehouse. She said the fire department in our community would let us, they had a basketball goal in their driveway of the firehouse, and they would let all of us kids come and play basketball there on Saturdays. And she said, I remember, and she lived in a very poor black community, and she said, I remember one Saturday we were all out there playing, and all of a sudden we heard some commotion coming down the street. And there was a black man running away from two police officers. And one of the police officers had a police dog. And she said the officer released the police dog to go after this man. And she said it caught him. And she said right in front of the firehouse where all of us kids were playing. And she said that even once the dog got the man and had him down, the police officers approached and were right there. They said they just stood there and watched that dog kill that man. They never called him off. They never, you know, told the dog to come back now that they had him down. And she said, we all stood there and watched this dog tear apart this man. And she said, and one of the officers, after it was over and we were all just horrified, looked over at the group of us kids and said, that's what happens when you run from the police. Now, she said, Monica, I could tell you lots of stories. She said, but I won't. She said, but that is our life. Now, you might meet someone else, another African-American person who has not had those kind of experiences and have had mainly all good experiences in this wonderful country of ours. But not everyone has had good experiences. And what it made me realize is that, you know, I don't want to get in the political argument of what Black Lives Matter means. But what I do know is I want my Black friends to know that their life matters to me. And so me and my husband decided to go march. And we went to Washington, D.C. and marched a couple of weeks after George Floyd. And I made my sign, and my sign said, "Black, your Black life matters to me." And it was just something I felt compelled to do. My husband, Charles, he really didn't want to go. First of all, he didn't think it was safe. But he knows me and my independence. And I'm like, "Well, honey, I'm going whether you go with me or not." And so, of course, he came. And we ended up having just the most beautiful day and a wonderful experience. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to be there that day because of the experiences and the interactions that I had with those there. We were thanked all day long. My friends who are Black back home, who saw me post some social media pics of our march, messaged me and called me privately and were so grateful that Charles and I did that. And at the end of the day, making that decision, whereas I had several friends that were upset that we did that and were, just very disappointed that we had chosen to go march. And, you know, when I think about taking action and when I think about trying to decide what to support, what not to support, how do I show people I care but yet not get in the middle of something I don't believe in? And all I can tell you is I think if we would err on the side of love and err on the side of compassion, that will never go wrong. And I am grateful that I did that and grateful that we had that experience. But what has disappointed me is that so many of my great Republican friends struggle. You know, they don't want to get involved in that social issue because they make the mistake of believing that supporting or showing support for Black lives, or actually saying the words Black Lives Matter, that it's a Democrat platform. And I just don't believe that. I'm not going to get involved in the organization, but I'm going to get involved in the fight to help my Black friends feel like their lives matter. On the flip side, you know, let's talk about the right to life issue. Once again, not to convince you of something, but as I have tried to, so I have mentioned to you all before that I'm very involved in right to life, and it's a very deep moral issue for me. However, in my experiences working for Right to Life, I have met several women who have had abortions. Some are grateful for their abortion or say that they are, but most of the other women that I've met are deeply, deeply regretful of that choice. Here's what I know. I know that people have different perceptions of what the right to choose or the right to life means. Many people, when they come up to me at a life event that are pro-choice, when I ask them questions, I realize that many of them really don't know what it means to be pro-life versus pro-choice. They mainly believe and have bought into the propaganda that unless you're pro-choice, if you're not pro-choice, you're against women, and you're against women being protected, and you're against women being able to make their own decisions about their lives, et cetera, et cetera. And so I've realized, though, that when I've spoken to people, that a lot of the reasons we make decisions is just based on our current knowledge. You know, my knowledge about social issues has changed over time. First of all, it's changed as I've gotten older and just have more life experience, and I've just learned more. It has changed depending on the people I've met. And as I've listened to different people, you know, they have influenced me and opened my eyes to different ways to look at issues. And so sometimes when I meet people, especially young people, and I realize they're just not there yet. They haven't had the experiences. They haven't been exposed to the other side of the argument. They don't even know what the other side of the argument is. Many people especially young people that tell me they're pro-choice, when I ask, do you know how we abort children in this country? Do you know the different ways? Many of them really don't, and they don't want to talk about it, and they kind of put that to the side. But my point is, you all, is that you don't have to be a Republican to say that, to acknowledge that life matters. You don't have to be a Republican to be pro-life. You can be a Democrat and be pro-life. It's a shame that this deeply moral issue has become political. What do I want my children to know? I just want my children to know what the Lord says and what the Lord has taught us about the value of life. But I don't want my children to condemn someone because they have not come to the conclusion that being pro-life is the Lord's way. Because that's not fair to people and where they're at. You know, I have tried to be more compassionate. And what's so interesting is I have met women who were once pro-choice and have changed their mind. Those women, especially those women who have had abortions in the past and then now are active advocate for pro-life, you all, they are the most passionate about pro-life as I've ever seen. And I've watched how the Lord uses our past choices, can use our past choices, our past thought processes, to actually help us be better advocates in the future. And so never disregard people because of what they believe today. Because people change. They do change. You know, I hate when I hear people say, oh, you know, just if you want to know what they're going to do in the future, look at what they did in the past. Well, if you're a Christian, then how can you say that? How can any of us say that? We all believe in redemption. We all believe, hopefully, if we're Christian, that everyone can change. If we didn't believe that, then my goodness, what all of us would be in trouble, right? We would all be in trouble. And so as we talk about these social issues in front of our children, and I think we should, I mean, obviously, we have to be careful about age-appropriate conversation, but, excuse me, but you all, we need to help our children to learn to be open and try to listen to why people have the beliefs that they have. Let's talk about a social issue of vaccinations, because, oh, this is going to become a huge issue here soon. As soon as a vaccination for COVID comes forward, oh, you're going to hear it. The arguing about vaccinations, the safety, the whole political, social thing is going to come up again, and it's going to be highly controversial. I remember, this is about 2 years ago, I had a really good friend, have a great friend, who is very anti-vaccinations, doesn't vaccinate her children. And some of you may be that way too. But she put a post, she posted something that talked about the danger of vaccinations. But at the end of this post about all the dangers of vaccinations, she made some kind of comment, and I don't remember her exact words, but something like, if you truly are a responsible parent who truly wants to do what's best for your child, you will educate yourself on the dangers of vaccination. Something like that. So the point she was making is that only parents who truly have a desire to be a good parent, you know, would learn and agree that vaccinations are dangerous to children. It was really a slap in the face to all the parents who have chosen to vaccinate their children. And it was almost, the way that it was said, and I've seen other posts like this, was like a condemnation that parents were not being good parents if they vaccinated their children. These topics, these ways to divide us, to place ourselves above others. You know, you all, it's the spirit of contention. When we try to say to ourselves, well, you know, I'm a better parent. We don't say that, but in the way that we portray ourselves, it's what we're saying. I'm a better parent than you because I don't vaccinate. Or you're an idiot if you don't vaccinate. Or if we say things like, you know, I care about women, you don't, if you're pro-life. Or if you say, well, I just think all lives matter, not Black Lives Matter, then we place ourselves above each other with just words, the words that we say. And parents, we don't want our kids to learn that. We don't want our kids to get in this contention race, because we know that Satan loves, he is relishing in the contention and the division today. Our kids need to hear us say, let's find out why they believe that. Let's find out what Grandpa's concern is with voting this way or not voting for that candidate. Let's learn more about this argument. Let's put ourselves on both sides of the fence. What would be the pros and what would be the cons? Parents, our children should see us approaching these social issues with compassion in our heart. I see when people want to disagree with us about a certain social issue, they'll send a video that just supports their issue. What I would rather see, instead of us just going down the list of why we're right and the other side is wrong, is I wish I saw more posts saying, could you help me understand why you believe that? Would you help me understand this argument? Would you explain to me why you're so opposed to this? And just listen. And we don't have to agree with why people come to the conclusions they come to. But surely as Christians, we can respect each other's right to make their own decisions based on their own beliefs. That's what we do. That's what America is about. That's what religious freedom is about. That's what free agency is about. But when our children hear the undertones and the backbiting and the phone conversations and the table talk, where they hear us condemning, ridiculing, undermining the other argument, you all, I think it teaches our children to judge one another. And so I just want to invite all of us to rethink how we're having these conversations, especially in front of our children. And I would ask you, you know, if here's a test for all of us. When someone makes a comment about a social issue, like I just did on several, did you start to feel your temperature rise? Did you start to feel a little annoyed or agitated? If you did, if we do, then that's a warning sign to us that we're struggling with some judgment. We're struggling with some contention in our heart. It's the measuring stick. It's the litmus test for where we're at. But if we can hear other people make opinions and statements on social issues that are different than ours, and it just causes us to go, huh, well, that's interesting. Let me find out a little bit more why they feel that way. Or that's okay that they feel that way. They must have had some experiences that I'm not aware of. Now, you all, I'm politically active. I'm going to get out there and campaign for issues, not parties, but for issues that are important to me and that I feel strongly about. And if I can find candidates who I feel like support those issues, then I am going to back them and I'm going to, you know, be politically active for them, because I think that's one of the greatest privileges we have living in the United States of America. And I don't ever want to take those freedoms for granted. So I know this was a little bit of a rambling podcast. I just hope it gives you some things to think about. I hope we can turn the temperature down. And moving forward, you and I have such a unique opportunity between now and this election. We have opportunities on social media and in private conversation with our friends and our family and our children, including our children, where we can be a peacemaker as the Lord calls us to be. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I hope that you and I, it doesn't mean that we hide from our beliefs, but it means that the way we engage in conversation about these very difficult subjects and topics can make all the difference in the influence that we can have. May we strive to be more understanding. May we strive to listen better. I pray you and I will be guided by the Lord as to the decisions that we need to make politically and in the elections coming up. Y'all, thank you again for listening, and have a great day.